Blog Talk Radio.
Prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Thursday, July 5th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom-labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. This is our fourth year of broadcasting, the only nationally broadcast radio show all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self sustaining lifestyle. Thank you very much for joining us. I want to send a shout out to all the homeschoolers that listen to the show on a regular basis and include it in your curriculum. Also want to thank all the over-the-road truck drivers that tune in on a regular basis. Thank you. Be safe and drive careful to your destination. And finally, all the feed and seed stores across the country that stream this radio show live. Howdy doody today. Hope you're having good business and hope you're dealing with these hot temperatures depending on where you're at. And tell all your customers that the Chicken Whisperer says hello. And of course, how can we forget the chat room chickeneers over in the chat room? We've got BA Chicks. Let's see, we've got Bard Rock, we've got D, we've got East Dallas Dave, we got several guests in the room today. Welcome, guests. Take a moment to register if you will, guests. Just takes a moment. I believe you can register with your Facebook account or your Twitter account, or just create one there at Blog Talk Radio. Very quick, very simple, and then you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name and join us in the chat room. We've got Megan's there, New Dawn Farm Girl and Poet's Wife, and sure, more's to come as the show goes on. We're right, just right in the middle, really. Just started our new chicken coop contest. We gave away a chicken coop last month thanks to our good sponsor, MyPetChicken.com. That was really fun, and then we actually are giving away another chicken coop this month, along with all the other great prizes we give away on a regular basis on our Facebook page and on the radio show. But we've got a great coop we're giving away this month. It's kind of a one of its kind. It's new on the market, brand new on the market, and we classify these new coops that are coming out. They're just coming out like crazy. They're meeting a need, actually, and for a particular chicken group. And we're calling them micro coops, is what we're calling them. And they hold, you know, 3 to 4 chickens. They're for, you know, let's say the retired couple that want 3 or 4 chickens. They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to become a crazy chicken lady and have 400 chickens when they start with 3. They only want 3 or 4. They're always going to have just 3 or 4. And I know it's for some of us, it's hard to believe, but they only want 3 or 4. They don't foresee having more than 3 or 4, and that'll meet their needs. And they have a small lot, and they're small coops for 3 or 4 chickens. And this is a snap lock chicken coop, the one we're giving away this month in July. Snaplockchickencoops.com. It's the American-made, maintenance-free plastic hen house. It's a double wall construction and adjustable ventilation. It's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade, rot. It's unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. I've got one in my backyard. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-lock chicken coop. It just weighs 40 pounds, and it snaps together in minutes. Literally about 15 to 20 minutes you snap this coop together. Spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit them, snaplockchickencoops.com. They're also available for sale at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com. And so that's snaplockchickencoops.com, the one who is sponsoring the July the July Chicken Coop Contest. East Dallas Dave in the chat room says, is there a set number to qualify as a crazy chicken lady? Say, I guess I'm not really sure about that. Possibly. But, you know, we've got these micro coops coming out. There's quite a few out on the market now. And we're calling them, again, micro coops, 3 to 4 chickens. And we're giving them away. And just think about this. If you think, well, I've got 35 chickens, so there's no need for me to get excited about winning this coop. You're wrong. Because what if you have an injured bird? You need to separate it. Do you have a place for it? This is a perfect example. Okay? When you come back from the show, let's say you have 2, 3, 4 show birds that you show on a regular basis. You come back from the show, you need to quarantine them. If you don't, you're a dum-dum. let's put it bluntly there, Chicken Whisperer. And then, you got a little coop now. You can keep them separated. Maybe you have an injured bird you need to keep separated because others are picking on it, pecking on its injury. Maybe you need a started coop for those chicks you just happened to on a whim got at the local Tractor Supply. And now you need a started coop before you actually incorporate them with your bigger chickens. So there's many. Maybe you want to start some Bantam chickens. Maybe you want 5 or 6 Bantams. Maybe you want 5 or 6 of the Saramas that you want. And you don't want to keep them in with your Jersey Giants. Don't recommend that. then this is a perfect opportunity. So we are still doing, yes, this month for July. Let me kind of explain the rules here. We started this contest on Monday, July the 2nd. Monday, July the 2nd. It's going to go all the way through Thursday, July 26th. Every single weekday, whether we have a radio show or not, because I'm going on the road very soon, be gone for a couple of weeks. In fact, for a whole week, there won't be any radio shows because I'll be enjoying my lovely family. But another week is going to be work-related, and there may be a time we're on the road and we'll have a radio show. So the fallback is become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Okay, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Join us. 26,000, 27,000 fans now. Love them all. And but the secret passwords will be not only mentioned and announced on the radio show when we have it in the next couple of weeks, but also every day they'll be posted on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Okay? So we'll be issuing that secret password. Collect all 19 passwords. I believe it's 19. Let's go through this together. 5, 10, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yep. There'll be a password mentioned every weekday, starting this past Monday the 2nd, all the way until Thursday the 26th. Thursday the 26th, that'll be the last password mentioned. And then Friday the 27th, fun Friday, on the 27th. If you're the right caller, for example, caller number 46 right now, we'll have a chance to recite all 19 secret passwords. And if you do that, you're going to win this awesome Snap Lock Chicken Coop from Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by SnapLockChickenCoops.com. So how cool is that? Fun, fun, fun. Collect those passwords. Password collection for poultry protection. Man, about 4 years ago we had that contest, or 3 years ago. Password collection for poultry protection. Gotta love it. I forgot who actually came up with that, but it was fun, creative. We had a contest to name the contest. It's what we did, and it was quite fun. So it was really neat. Hey, I'm getting ready to go on the road, so it's a little hectic. I'm just going to tell you right now, there may not be a radio show tomorrow. I know, go ahead and cry. Wait, I can hear y'all in the background. I know it, and I'm sorry. It's been crazy around here today. It's just absolutely crazy what we got to do. So there may not be a show tomorrow. I apologize. I'm hitting the road for 2 weeks straight. Woo! Those who travel know 2 weeks straight. Okay, and you're going to Florida. So not only do you have my work stuff I got to pack, but I got to get stuff out of the attic, like our beach chairs and our umbrella and all the stuff that goes. We will be at a week for a beach and join our family. It's our end of the summer vacation, basically, we have every year. It's tradition. The week before, basically, a week or two before Jen goes back to school. So it's a little crazy. My press release has to go out today for Virginia Beach, Virginia. A press release going out for Raleigh. Press release going out for Titusville, Florida. So that's crazy in itself. Getting everything packed. The garden, oh my gosh. I was out there at 8:30 this morning with the tiller, tilling my rows, keeping the weeds down. Got to stay on top of that or it gets out of hand. I noticed some corn's ready to be harvested. Oh, Lord have mercy. We got peas that are ready. I'm going to have to get some farm help here. Head down to the road to the local store and pick up some of my local farm helpers to come and pick and harvest. And then when am I going to have time to shell and snap and shuck and freeze and blanch and put up? Oh, my goodness gracious. So it's everything's going like crazy. The garden's in full bloom. We're heading out for a two-week vacation. I got to go get my hair cut today. I got to go pick up the plow that's ready at the store they called this morning. Got press releases to go out today. Where's my to-do list? Holy cow, I got so much to do. So may not be a show tomorrow, and I apologize for that. I'll make the announcement on Facebook tomorrow morning based on how much I get done today. Also this Saturday, Mammoth Barbecue, two doors down. Every year, it started out as a family reunion. Now it's kind of family and friends. This is the 28th annual Robinson Barbecue. And they're really our best friends here in the old town. And Jen's parents are coming down. I got a friend coming down from Atlanta. 250 people. Y'all may remember a couple of weeks, last few years, I've been posting pictures of it on Facebook. Must be 10 6-foot tables, maybe more, of food. Everybody brings a side dish. They provide the pigs. They're going to start cooking them about, God, I don't remember, maybe noon on a Friday for the Saturday barbecue. How cool is that? They've been making Brunswick stew, homemade Brunswick stew, old family recipe. Oh my gosh. 250 people normally turn out for this. So it is a fun thing. That's Saturday. I got a friend coming down Saturday as well. After the barbecue, we're going to go put up a gate at his 30-acre property. Got to get the tractor running for that. Oh, I got to go get the tires rotated, the oil changed, and I'm actually getting a new battery in the SUV for this trip. I could just go down forever and ever and ever. So, but yeah, all this coming up for this two-week tour. But I'm very excited. We're going to be in Raleigh on Monday. Yes, sirree. Raleigh, North Carolina on Monday, folks. It's going to be fun. We're going to be at the Tractor Supply. We're going to be at the Tractor Supply, and I believe it's called Knighton. Hang on just a second. I'll figure it out. Give me just a second. I just posted it on Craigslist as well, and getting ready for that. There it is. Da-da-da-da. Hang on. Let me mute myself. Sure you didn't want to hear me sneeze my head off. Okay. Nightdale. It's just outside of Raleigh. We're going to be there Monday. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a chicken and small animal swap at Tractor Supply this coming Monday, July 9th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Nightdale Tractor Supply. 1201 Mammoth Drive in Nightdale, North Carolina. Just outside of Raleigh, about 12 miles. Buy, sell, trade. Bring the whole family. Chickens, goats, rabbits, and more. That's what we're looking at. I'll be there just hanging out, chatting with y'all, meeting the folks. We got the big Raleigh Backyard Poultry Meetup group with about 600 members. We got about 30 people that have already RSVP'd for the event. And there's a lot of chatter going on up there. I talked to some folks. And from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., big chicken swap. Actually, chicken / small animal swaps. If you've got goats, chickens, rabbits, whatever, bring them. If you want to get some chickens, come on. Just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, Nightdale Tractor Supply. And immediately following this, at 8 o'clock, we'll be packing up real quick, and we're going to head out and have some supper with everybody. Right now, we're picking out an establishment to have a kind of a meet and greet there and put some tables together and break bread together. So that'll be immediately following, and hopefully we'll have a good crowd there at the restaurant right after this chicken. So that's going to be Monday night. Then Tuesday, we wake up, we head over to Virginia Beach, Virginia. We are more than just a silly blog. We actually are soldiers on the ground helping people across the country change their laws. Heading over to Virginia Beach, Virginia to help Tracy Oakroy. She's been fighting for her right to keep chickens over there for quite some time, and we wanted to get there and roll in on Tuesday. Tuesday night is the city council meeting. That's another thing. I got to email the city councils there, let them know, give them a copy of the press release, let them know I look forward to meeting them. I'll be speaking at their meeting on Tuesday night. How cool is that? Trying to, again, debunk all the myths, rumors, and stereotypes that they think bringing chickens to their town will bring. So I got to get that done. That'll be Tuesday evening, and then after that, we're having a kind of a chicken wings with the Chicken Whisperer event after the chicken folks are done speaking and educating. Then we're going to sneak out of the meeting and head over and have some supper and a meet and greet and talk about plan of action for getting chickens legal in Virginia Beach. And then we're hitting the road again. Yep, Wednesday we'll be heading down towards Florence, South Carolina, and then Thursday we're heading all the way down to Florida, down to around Ormond Beach. And checking in, and then Friday we will be broadcasting live next Friday from Brency Products. Yep, we'll be broadcasting live at their headquarters down in Titusville, Florida. So I know we're going to have that radio show next week. So we'll just see. It'll be kind of spotty based on what's going on with our travel schedule, where we're going to be, if we're going to be on the road, if we're going to have connectivity with Verizon or with a satellite phone or with whatever connectivity we may have available. So we are looking at doing that. But I'll keep you all posted on our Facebook page, Facebook and Twitter. Just go and join us, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. We got a great show lined up for you today. It's been a little while, but we've got another one of our resident chicken experts. Yep, poultry scientist and professor, small flock specialist, Dr. Bridget McCrae, PhD. Yes, she is joining us today. We're going to be talking about foot baths today. And, okay, now, I'm not talking or being focused to you Baptists. Not talking about a foot washing now like we have down here in the South. The Baptists down here in the South have our foot washings every now and then, especially around homecoming time. But, nope, we're talking about foot baths. Biosecurity, folks. It's really her specialty. And we're glad to welcome her to the show, and we'll be bringing her on very shortly so we can get this topic on the road. I got an email from Pat, my co-host. She is in the pharmacy today working and saving lives in the pharmacy. So she will not be joining us today. And again, tomorrow's radio show will be questionable with all this stuff. I can't wait to show off my plow. It's God, they don't even make them anymore. It's so cool. It's a power plow. It's a big one-wheel plow. It's called an Eddie Boy. I think it's an Edco company, Eddie Boy plow wheel, power wheel, power wheel. I'm going to wash it up real nice and drive it down to my neighbors. You know how it is, keeping up with the Jones, say, hey, check out this deal I got on Craigslist for about nothing. And I had a few things upgraded on it, not upgraded, but really fixed to bring it back to original condition and runnable. And I can't wait to put in my fall garden. I saw somebody, I think, was it Megan Lewis? You're in the chat room. Megan, were you saying you were actually getting ready for your fall garden? Man, don't say that. Making me feel like I'm already behind. My spring-summer garden is in full swing right now. But we did get our fall garden in late last year. We didn't get it really in until the last weekend in September. It was our anniversary. And I remember, and we really should have been getting our garden in the first week in September. So we were about a month behind, but we were blessed with fabulous weather, and we had stuff producing all the way first of the year, New Year's Day. We were harvesting. So it says, y'all never got your spring or summer garden planted. Man, I'm sorry for that. Sucks for you. That's the best garden of the year. But, man, I got to go out and harvest corn tonight. Woo! But yeah, so I'm telling you, even if we got – I hate to do this because even if we have stuff that still may be ready and producing out there in the garden come late August, too bad. We got to hook the harrow up to the tractor and harrow all that down in the ground, mix it back in for compost, get it in there, harrow real good, and then I'm going to put the cultivator on. I'm going to run my rows, and then I get this plow boy and set my rows. First week of September, we'll be putting in our fall garden. English peas, collards. Mustard greens, turnip greens. We're putting in a lot of broccoli this year. We're putting in a lot of cauliflower this year. I'm going to try carrots again this year. We had a few carrots last year. Get my carrots. I'm going to try beets again. Our beets didn't do squat. But I'm going to try beets again. And let's see what else we got. Beets. What else did we plant last year? Can't remember. Oh, cabbage. Got to do some cabbage. Maybe some Brussels sprouts. And I'm going to try garlic, I think, this fall. Garlic, that was one of the new ones I'm going to put in. So, woo, first week of September, that's what we're going to be doing around here, putting in the fall garden and churning all this this wonderful compost of our spring and summer garden into the ground. Got to do that. So, look, it'll be a lot of hard work, but looking forward to it. At least with the fall garden, when I'm out there tilling the rows, keeping the weeds down, it won't be 109 degrees. Maybe it'll be 59 degrees. Nah, won't that be nice? No, first week in September, it'll still be hot here. We may even hit some 90s the first week of September, I guarantee you. So it's going to be hot until normally it starts to cool down around Halloween. Normally we have our first little cold snap around Halloween. Gets a little cool spell there. So it'll be hot hoeing here at the homestead. How about that? All right, let's go over here to the switchboard, and let's bring on our good friend. Yep, you guessed it. It is Dr. Bridget McRae. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Hear you loud and clear. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Man, it is so hot outside. Is it really 109 where you are?
Not today. We did hit 109. We've had 106, 105, 101. It's been absolutely crazy. It's like, Jen says, man, I'll be glad to go to Florida so we can cool off a little bit.
Man.
Yeah. At least there's a breeze on the beach. I mean, yesterday We went out, got out early, and was doing a little bit of tilling in the garden. I couldn't last more than about 45 minutes because the humidity just hits you like a brick wall. And, I mean, if it's one thing, if it's hot and there's a little breeze or it's not much yesterday, the humidity, you walk outside and you were drenched almost immediately. The humidity was killing us. But on some of the hot, hot days, we didn't have quite the humidity like we did, I guess it was yesterday morning. But, yeah, it's been a scorcher, and we've been talking the last few weeks off and on about keeping the chickens cool, keeping yourselves cool, things like that.
Yeah.
And today, today a little bit more towards biosecurity with foot baths.
Well, I'm heading down to Athens,
right.
on Sunday. Poultry Science Association is having their annual meeting. And it's at University of Georgia, and so I'm checking out the weather report because I started to get a little worried when I heard you say 109. I was like,
please no.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it looks like we're going to be there 93, 88, 84. That I can handle.
Yeah.
That I can handle. Yeah, we were out building chicken coops this morning for my student's project. My student, Ashley, you may recall, we posted pictures last year. Yes, yes. She's doing her project again this summer, repeating it this summer. And today we were out there pounding posts and stretching wire and moving the coop into place. And then I had to come back to air conditioning. Oh, darn. And
they're
out there finishing it up. So,
what size coops are they making?
Well, this is a pastured unit over Polima beans because she's taking a look. Her project is looking at the effectiveness of chickens for insect control in a Polima bean plot. And she's actually going to be talking about the preliminary results of last summer's work at the Poultry Science Association meeting. She looked at Mexican bean beetles, three different types of stink bugs, and two spotted spider mites. And so she'll be announcing her results from last summer, but she's got to get the coop up this week before we leave for poultry science next week. she's out there working real hard. So if anybody doesn't know what Ashley looks like, go to the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation. Her picture's up there. From last year where she was putting the coop together, and she's out there probably taking more pictures this year. She needed to take more pictures for her presentation so she could describe her pen to folks. So, we're heading your way. Sorry, we're actually probably going to pass each other on the road. Heading to Raleigh, and I'm heading down to Athens, so.
Y'all coming down 95?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, we probably will pass.
So, yeah, we're going to start at dark 30 on Sunday morning and start driving. I'm picking up my two students. I've got one student, Ashley, that I just spoke about. She's going to be doing her presentation. She's been practicing really hard and she's a tremendously wonderful speaker. So if anybody wants to know the results of her work, you're going to have to come to Cooptastic in 2013.
Hey.
She's going to be presenting pretty much all of her data from the 2 years' worth of work. And then I've got my undergraduate student, Brittany Lister. She's doing a presentation at Poultry Science I really should know the title because I've announced it in practice so many times. The effects that small flocks have on their owners in the Mid-Atlantic region. I didn't say that exactly right, but that's the gist of it. So what she did is she looked at levels of stress as identified by small flock owners and also levels of attachment as identified by small flock owners and correlated them to different questions on a written survey. So she's going to be announcing some of the results. She actually has way more data than she can fit into a 12-minute talk. So she'll also be doing her presentation at Cooptastic 2013. So if y'all aren't going to poultry science, which I kind of doubt you might be because it's going to be hot, You can come to Kooptastic 2013 and get the long version, because she's only given the short version. So that's what we've been up to around here today. And you're busy as all get out, as described by yourself.
Crazy. Hey, I'm so glad that you say data instead of data.
Well, that's how I was raised. You can thank my mom for that.
Exactly. So I say data, and the wife, for some reason, which surprised me, being from the South, I said, data? What the hell's data? And it's data. No, it's data. So when she's
it probably comes from the pronunciation of the singular version of the word, which is datum, D-A-T-U-M. Data is actually plural, or data is plural. So, you know, it could be how people were raised to say datum or datum.
Data.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay, just a reminder, we're going to start off with foot baths today, but I hope that your audience has questions.
Okay.
Because the second half of all this is going to be really boring if y'all don't have questions.
Well, we can always end it early if we need to.
If
everybody's a chicken expert out there and knows it all, then that's perfectly fine. We'll end the show a little early, and I can get onto my list. But
yeah,
we're more than happy to hang around as long as they have questions for the experts. So, I'm ready to get rolling when you are.
All right. Well, let's start off with foot baths. And since I wasn't able to make it for the past couple of Thursdays, this was a topic that we were going to discuss earlier in the year. But it's actually applicable any time of year, and it has to do with creating a foot bath. I have a fact sheet out there that applies to just about any animal species. It's called Foot Bath Easier Than You Think. And it's out there. It's for free. I'm looking for the link for it right now, and as soon as I get it, I'll pop it up there into the chat room website. But any sort of animal operations, whether you've got goats, whether you've got, you know, pigs, whatever it is, you should really think about a foot bath. It's very simple, very simple. Just needs a little bit of thought, a little bit of forethought, you know, where are you going to put it, and, you know, how often are you willing to change it out? That depends often on what disinfectant you choose. There, I just popped the link for it in there.
There we go.
So it's a free download. This is something I worked on a few years ago. And a foot bath, basically, here's some scenarios where you really need to consider whether or not you should be putting together a foot bath. And they're so easy, there's almost no excuse not to. So we've got a lot of family and friends visiting for the holidays or on summer vacation, and a lot of them, when they get to your house, they're like, oh, we want to see your beautiful birds, or you, as a point of pride, want to say, hey, come out and take a look at what I've done with the coop, or my girls are looking so much bigger. But, you know, what do they have on the soles of their shoes?
There's no telling. I love this. This is what lurks on the souls of man.
Yep, you got it.
Cool, I love it. I'm looking at it right now. So actually, coming back from the coop and taking a little dip in the pond and walking back up to the house just isn't going to cut it.
Not really. So, you know, if your family or friends, you have to think about, do they have a new pet cockatiel? Do they have chickens of their own? Maybe some ducks or something like that? If they have birds, they're your prime candidates. Family and friends that come over, if they have birds, they're the prime candidates for having them walk through a foot bath. Because honestly, more than likely, they changed their clothes before coming to see you. But if they're not so good at biosecurity and is not as knowledgeable and willing to preserve their flock as you are, because I know your listeners are very diligent in their biosecurity, I would hope that you'd ask them to walk through a foot bath, because they may not have changed their footwear since taking care of their own animals. And You know, it's just something you have out there. You ask them to step through. You demonstrate yourself. You have them do it, and you just keep going. Don't make it a big deal, because it's not. If you have a house sitter or a pet sitter come take care of the birds for you while you're on vacation, then you need to think about having a foot bath for them and teaching them how to use it. Because I used to house sit a great deal and pet sit a great deal. It was a great way to earn some extra spending cash in the summer. And sometimes I would get two or three jobs. And so I would go to multiple houses. Well, this was before I knew about biosecurity. And nobody had foot baths. But at least I had enough good common sense to wear a dedicated pair of boots to other people's houses and not on my own property. That was just something automatic that I seemed to think was appropriate. And I had an extra spare set of boots, so I did that. So if you're having a pet sitter or a house sitter come, are they visiting multiple sites? Do those other sites have poultry? Are those poultry sick? You don't know. So you might as well just teach a pet sitter or a house sitter how to use the foot bath. Now, people spread disease. We know this. We're all human, okay? Usually footwear goes with you everywhere, and you can't see the germs on the shoes. So rather than stopping everywhere and hosing off and scrubbing your shoes and carrying portable disinfectant with you, which is an option in some instances, you might just want to have a dedicated set of shoes that you let your pet sitter, your house sitter use.
Mm-hmm.
Or have that foot bath ready. We know that people spread disease. In the case of avian influenza here in Delmarva, people were part of the issue. People brought birds back to Delmarva from the New York market. And then from there, it was people who spread it from the initial infected farm outward through their clothing and footwear. In Southern California, not only were infected birds moved, but once the outbreak was identified, people had to wash the tires of their cars, in and out from feed mills, in and out from infected farms, and they also had to treat their footwear. Certain organisms are really talented at using human laziness to their benefit. So if you're going to go visit family and you know they have poultry, you know, maybe there's a family reunion, a picnic, your vacation, think about it. And don't go see someone else's birds if they don't have a foot bath or there's no way for you to treat your feet when you leave. And this also applies to friends and fellow poultry keepers because, you know, none of us do this maliciously. You know, we don't try to spread disease. At least I hope nobody out there is trying to spread disease.
The first thing that comes to my mind when I'm talking about this is all of the coop tours that people
have
the country. And so, you know, I mean, realistically, people, I know they're listening right now and they're saying, well, I mean, you hear this all the time. I know you do. I do, too. Well, I've gone to plenty of shows, and my birds are always healthy. Or
yeah.
I go and visit birds all the time. And go. I've never had a sick bird in my entire life. And so,
you don't know that. You don't know that. You've never done a blood draw on your birds to see what their immunological history is.
Right. So it's kind of,
you can't say that until you have the evidence in front of you.
There you go.
And let me tell you, sometimes we have clinics where, you know, we'll show people how quickly germs can spread, either on footwear or contact. And I think even Mythbusters did one of those things. They used that glowing liquid that under a dark light you can see how quickly it spread everywhere. We use that a lot to teach kids how to wash their hands. But it's also something we've used in biosecurity seminars to show how much you can get on you and how quickly, and you didn't even know it. What we'll do is we'll infect one person. They'll be our plant, and they won't even know it. And then we'll just see who all they touched and where all they went and who all got stuff on them. It's hilarious. People kind of freak out when they realize that's how easy it is. That's how much I have on you. That's enough to make my bird sick. Wow. So if you are unable or unwilling to create a foot bath, then you need to practice how to say no. And I'm going to practice with you, Andy, okay? You've got a favorite niece or a favorite nephew who comes to visit you, and they say, may I please go outside and play with the chickens? Please, your birds are so pretty, Uncle Andy. Can I go see them? May I go see them? What are you going to say? Andy walked away. Okay. But either way, folks, if you don't know how to say no and you haven't practiced some of these scenarios, then, you know, you're going to have difficulty saying no. Next, can you think of a way to say no nicely to an adult, to a teen, to a child? You never know who's going to ask you one of these questions. But if you're not willing to say your no and you're not comfortable practicing your no, then go ahead and prepare to teach everyone how to use the foot bath. And to use the pun, hold their feet to the fire on this. Ask everybody, did you walk through the foot bath before and after you came, spent time with the chickens? Have plenty of supplies on hand in case somebody accidentally tips over the foot bath or something happens where you have to mix a new batch. So have enough supplies on hand. And now I'm going to talk about the buddy scenario. And I know people listening have either done this to other people or have had it done to them. So out there in the chat room, if you've done this to somebody or if somebody's done this to you, I want you to raise your wing out there in the chat room. Okay, somebody comes up to you and says, I want to see your coop. I'm just getting started and I have no idea what to do. Raise your wing out there. Anybody ever asked you that? Yep, wing wave. Don Shandera. All right, you've had that scenario. And it's pretty innocent, right? Oh, they're just getting started. They have chicks. They want to see how your coop was being built. Do they really need to see? Can you show them pictures? If they've got birds and they're not willing to walk through a foot bath, maybe they're really not your friend. Okay, next scenario. If you have had this scenario, wave your wing in the chat room, okay? Oh, man, my birds keep getting sick. Can I see how you raise yours? Anybody out there in the chat room have that scenario? That's definitely not somebody that I would want to welcome at all into my coop. If you continually have illness problems and they want to come see how you do things, I would vote that maybe they don't come see your they don't come see your flock at all. Or they bring a bird over. Hey, can you take a look at this sick bird for me? Tell me what's wrong with it. That's one that I know a lot of people may have had folks approach them. Wave your wing in the chat room if you've had someone do that to you. Or if you've done that to someone else, you've tried to take a sick bird over to somebody else. Or sometimes this scenario. Hey, can I see how your birds are coming along this year? Pretty innocent. You might want to think about telling them no. It's okay. They're doing fine. Or if they're working on a specific project in their coop, how about this scenario? Can I see how you fill in the blank? How you do this or how you do that? Hey, how'd you do the roof line to collect water for a rain barrel? Or how did you design your chicken coop so that they roll out? You know, that's a tough one because some of these things are hard to describe, and it is much more convenient to have some come over and just see how you did it. But is that really someone you want over at your place? What's on their shoes? Are they willing to walk through a foot bath? If someone really rebuffs you on walking through a foot bath, that's really not someone you want to come onto your property. Because for heaven's sakes, it's a foot bath. It's not going to bite you. So let's talk about putting your foot bath together. Think about each of you out there. Think of a site on your property where you think a foot bath would be appropriate. You want it to be an area where everyone must pass through. So usually a gate or door is the best way, like the gate that leads from the backyard to the chicken area or to the barn. Sometimes you might want a foot bath, more than one foot bath, if you have a separate area, like, say, a quarantine area that's closer to the front of the house. That might need a separate foot bath because you don't want to carry anything from your regular flock to the quarantine area or vice versa. Put out a sign. And if it includes directions on how to use the foot bath, that's great. And a sign does so much. For biosecurity purposes, step into foot bath before proceeding. It's very simple, very straightforward. And then think about the surface on which your foot bath is going to sit. You want to avoid an area that's going to turn to mud during certain times of year. If you can put it on brick or cinder block or part of the driveway, concrete, maybe even a wood platform or a pallet, something that's easy to sweep or keep clean, or even if the pallet can be moved to an area that's not as muddy. Think about those for maintaining the foot bath. Because as we know, as the weather changes, although it's hard to think about snow and mud this time of year, it happens. And you want to have a good site selected. You want to avoid walking past birds before using the foot bath. So you might need more than one foot bath in that instance, depending on how your property is laid out. When I give this talk in person, I usually assign groups of five or six people one of five different scenarios, and they have pictures, and they have to identify in the picture where they would put a foot bath. And unfortunately, we can't quite do that over the radio. So what do you use for the container for your foot bath? Any sort of pan, tub, tray, or bin will do the trick. If you want something as simple can be, a cat litter pan is easily located at your local grocery store, and they're usually less than $10. As an alternative, you can use a restaurant busboy tray. They usually have high enough sides and are of durable plastic that they'll last a couple of years. You want something that has about 5 to 7 inch high sides. And, you know, a busboy tray, depending on how many you purchase, can be as low as $2, or if you get the really fancy, super durable ones, they can be $15 each. An alternative to even the busboy tray are the wrapping paper Rubbermaid boxes you see at the holidays. They're meant and designed to go underneath the bed. So they've got low sides, but they also have a lid, which helps if you want to keep leaves and sticks and dust out of your foot bath. It would also, if you have free-ranging chickens, keep the chickens out of your foot bath because that's not a water source for your chickens. So a Rubbermaid container is very easy if it's got low sides and it has a lid. Other supplies you're going to need, a scrub brush, a long-handled utility scrub brush, an AstroTurf doormat. You want to cut that doormat down to size so it fits nicely in the bottom of whatever size container you have purchased. And AstroTurf is that kind of fake grass doormat-y stuff. It's really nice to have a hose nearby so that you don't have to drag another hose off duty of whatever it was doing to fill up your foot bath. And again, like I said, a lid is optional for your foot bath. So a scrub brush, a doormat, a hose, and a lid are all things to consider having on hand. Now let's talk about what is the active ingredient inside your foot bath. And that's usually disinfectant. It may not always be you that mixes the disinfectant for a foot bath. So, post directions. Print up how much of the disinfectant to pour into how much water, and then put all that into the foot bath. That would help a pet sitter or a house sitter mix up a fresh batch. If you take a two-week vacation, you probably will want them to mix up a fresh batch after about a week. And always mix your disinfectant according to the label directions. If you make it twice as strong, that's not necessarily good. That's probably going to damage your container, maybe even your footwear. And then you want to think of a disinfectant and select a disinfectant that kills both bacteria and viruses. And this is where you really have to do your homework. You need to find out what disinfectant is effective against whatever organism you have had trouble with in the past. And preferably you want one that's effective against avian influenza, who is the biggest, baddest guy on the block, in case it ever visits your area. You already have a disinfectant that you know is effective. Some disinfectants that I know are out there that work well are Tektrol, Tektrol, and it's made by AgriLabs. There's another product out there called One Stroke Environ. And that's the number one hyphen stroke. The next word is Environ, and that's made by Steris Labs. Another product out there is called Oxine, O-X-I-N-E, and that is made by a company called Biocide International. And another product I've got some familiarity with is Nolvasan. N-O-L-V-A-S-A-N, and I don't remember who makes that one. But those are some names for you to choose from. Some cost more than others. Some of them have to be shipped as hazardous material, and therefore there's an additional fee associated with shipping them to your house. So check your online supply catalogs. Check your local feed store, see if they carry it. Or maybe your local feed store can order the disinfectant. So you're supporting someone local. So pick your site. Cut the doormat down to size. Mix up a batch of disinfectant. Add it to the foot bath. And post directions next to it on how to use the foot bath. And hang the scrub brush nearby. Demonstrate to others when they come through how to use the foot bath. First and foremost, make sure the foot bath is clean and is full. Nothing worse than having to spend the time to mix up a batch and add it. If someone was just hoping to go see your chickens. First things first. For a foot bath, you need to remove mud, manure, sticks, and leaves from your footwear by using a hose that's nearby. Place one foot into the foot bath, scrub the bottom of the shoe on the mat, and then use the long-handled brush to scrub all over your boot or your shoe. Step that foot out and repeat the process for the other shoe. And think about if you're using a disinfectant, clean your foot bath Once the fluid appears dirty, and that often takes about a week, if it's one of those scenarios where you're got a lot of people traipsing through, you might have to clean your foot bath much more often. Dump your foot bath in an area away from where you would have people walk through to prevent mud buildup, and scrub out your foot bath using a brush and a hose before you refill it. And then, of course, go through the process of mixing up a new batch of disinfectant and add it to your foot bath. So let's talk about cost. Cat litter tray, I've seen them run anywhere from $4.50 to $8.50. AstroTurf mats, I've seen them run from $6.50 to $10.50, depending on the size. A utility brush, $5.50 to about $6, and that's the long-handled version. And disinfectant, this is the heavy-hitting price tag part. They're usually anywhere from $25 to $35, but there's enough disinfectant there for you to last a couple of years if you also use it, not just for foot baths, but you're also using it for coop cleanout. So it's a wise investment for you out there. All right. We're going to do one final scenario.
Okay, two questions here,
Andy,
real quick,
back.
Before
Hi.
I forget. Yep. Can you use bleach and can you use barbicide?
Bleach is inactivated by organic material. So what's organic material, Andy?
Inorganic or organic?
Organic.
Oh, organic material. That would be your all-natural stuff. It could be, poop is organic.
Poop and dirt.
And
so the first time you walk through, you have to mix up a new batch. Because the job of bleach particles is to really surround any dirt. And it doesn't last more than, say, a day. So if you want something that has lasting effect, you want a disinfectant because they're designed to last a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And barbicide is not something that I'm familiar with.
Okay. I think it's that stuff that, I'm going to the barber, I think, today, and they have all those combs down in that little blue-colored liquid that kills, everything. If they're using it in the barbershop, they have razors or whatever.
You have to read the label and read the MSDS see what it's effective against and if it has been approved for use in livestock areas. Some are, some aren't. And some of these disinfectants are so broad spectrum that it's really nice because you can use them for cleaning out your incubators. You can use them for cleaning out brooding chambers. You can use them for inside the coop. You can use them for your foot bath. You can use them for equipment. And they really run the gamut on broad spectrum and ease of use without damaging equipment. Okay, so the last scenario, Andy. You've got Aunt Barbara, okay? She comes to town, and she's always wearing the newest, latest styles of footwear. You know, she's got herself some Manolo Blahniks, okay? And there is no way she's walking through your foot bath, okay? But she's starting a flock, and you know she would benefit from the information that you can share with her. What are you going to do?
Foot covers.
Yes, plastic boot covers. Just having them on hand is great. Plastic boot covers will allow people who arrive on your property who are wearing flip-flops or sandals, as we tend to wear this time of year, or even fancy shoes that would be damaged by any disinfectant, perhaps, give these people a pair of boot covers. You get 25 pairs for about $14 or $15. It's so worth it. So keep a box in the truck or in the car for trips to the feed store, the vet's office, or if you absolutely have to go to Sally and Pete's farm because their chickens are sick. Well, you know, put something over your feet so you aren't taking something from their property home with you. And these are just really easy things for you to think about and invest in for the long run, because you may have the most precious chickens who do not deserve to be damaged or treated ill by some sort of germ or agent of disease. So protect your birds, protect your rare genetic lines by uninviting disease that can come in on footwear. So, questions. We already handled a couple of questions from you, Andy. Mm-hmm. Questions that I may have missed in the chat room.
Lending them maybe a pair of your shoes was mentioned. The surgical booties, people say they may work in the healthcare field. They can grab a few on their way out the door and keep for those issues. I know there's a question here, farm to farm to farm, and it's about, and I see it here every day down here in rural South Georgia, the UPS and FedEx truck pulling all the way down your driveway, coming up to your house, and then heading down to the Tyson farm and delivering a piece of equipment there, and then heading over to Jim's little chicken ranch and delivering there. And then so I just kind of educate them and say, hey, if you don't mind, just park at the end of the driveway, or, you know, just kind of educate them on the possible issue there.
Right. That's one of the major issues during any sort of outbreak, is that all that stops. But the nice thing about having a small flock is that you have more control over who has access to your birds, in many cases, than, say, some people who have 5, 10, 15 houses. What you can do is direct everybody via a sign to your front door where there's a footpath, have them walk through it, and, you know, also it's a matter of responsibility. Don't have a footpath out there if you're not going to keep it maintained. Because then you just look irresponsible. But it's so easy to maintain, there's no sense not to.
Mm-hmm.
Put a sign out there, say, I love my chickens very much, and therefore I have a biosecurity plan in place. Please help me help my chickens by walking through this footpath. That is a really friendly way of explaining to people how serious you are that Henny Penny and, you know, Mr. Rooster are important members of your flock, and you don't want them to be sick. Of course, if there's visitor parking, then that's where the UPS man should park. And anybody else who comes to your farm can park in visitor parking. Otherwise, they can stay in your vehicle, and they can stay in their vehicle and honk their horn, and you'll come out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's the UPS guy, and then he usually leaves it on your front porch anyhow.
True. Or just throw it over the fence, like with us, since we put our fence up. I was going to bed one night, looked out the front window, and we had to have heavy rains, and there's this box from FedEx just thrown over the little gate there. And I'm like, well, that's nice. I hope it's not Caleb's cereal bars that are now soggy wet. And it wasn't. It was something else that was okay. But the UPS guy, he knows that the back gate, you know, when we're expecting deliveries, we know it. And so the back gate's always open. And he comes up the back gate if we're shipping something out or these. But FedEx, nope, just threw it right over the gate and drove on down the road. And here comes the rainstorm. So thanks, FedEx. Appreciate that. When we were on the chicken coop tour in Atlanta, we specifically had an area that they could walk up to, and then that was it. There was no going in the run. There was no going in the coop. There was no coming back out. You could go come up to this one area and stop, and from that area you could see our whole operation without having to walk in the coop, walk in the run. There was no need in all that junk. And I even sent out an email to everybody on the coop tour explaining to them about this, and I think I was the only one that took heed and did anything regarding biosecurity. I think they had the no, it didn't happen anything last year. I was on the tour. My birds are fine, so I'm not going to do that this year. And, oh, that'll take the fun out of it and all this kind of stuff. It didn't come on friendly ears, and they probably thought I was just being over cautious. So
it doesn't matter if it takes the fun out of it if all your birds are dead.
That's pretty blunt and true right there. Exactly.
And, you know, I'm being blunt because That's exactly what a bacteria virus is designed to do. Find a new host, replicate itself. If the host lives, great. If the host dies, oh well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care, but you're supposed to because you're intelligent enough to. So think about that. Last year may have been a good year, but, you know, we do have things that hit the news periodically and things change. And it's just make it part of your routine. Everybody should just make it part of your routine is to regularly clean their footwear or use a foot bath. And if it's your birds and it's your footwear, you may or may choose not to use the foot bath as you come and go from the house for daily care. If you have a dedicated pair of boots, then maybe the foot bath is just for guests.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you just had, okay, this is my pair of boots. I only have them here. They're on the back porch. I go in and out. This is it. They'll go nowhere else.
Right.
Then theoretically, then, okay, I don't need a foot bath because these are the boots that I wear. This is the only place I wear them. And then that's it. You know, if I go out anywhere, I'm wearing different boots.
Right.
Then you may be okay without a foot bath. Okay.
And a lot of people that I know of around here, they do that because their flock has a problem. And it's a long-term problem, and they don't want to be that person who travels to the feed store and, you know, the next person who walks in behind them gets whatever organism was on their shoes.
Dawn put in there, says, what do you do if you work in a feed store all day, then have to go home to your own chickens? That is a lot of cleaning. And
is have dedicated footwear for your chickens and then change your clothes. Or put on coveralls when you're with your own birds. Because, like I said, you know, change your hat, put on some coveralls, put your boots on, cover up the clothes that you were wearing at the feed store so that it doesn't drop off within your own birds. Because, like I said, a virus or a bacteria's job is to spread itself. And they do that using us. So don't be that person who lets disease in.
Here's a question.
Very simple.
Okay, question not technically related, could be. What are your thoughts on sand in the coop instead of shavings?
I believe that research has been done with broiler chickens. And as I recall, there wasn't all that much difference for disease control, but it was much heavier to remove at the end of a year of multiple flocks on it. We are talking broiler chickens. It was much heavier weight-wise, and I believe they also had a harder time finding someone to take it at the end of a year because everyone was used to something that could be composted, and I don't think that they composted that. So, and, you know, it's sand, so people weren't ready for it. I don't think there was any difference with regard to foot pad burns or breast blisters or hawk burns. But, of course, I'm remembering something I read maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
And
in the boiler chicken, I mean, you got this 300-foot-long chicken house, and that is a lot of sand versus a
were replicated pens.
Okay, gotcha.
But they have the same density of a 300-foot chicken house with the same conditions, the same living conditions. So, use it if you want to, but just know that after having it in there for like a year, it's going to be hard to clean out, and it's going to be heavy. heavier. There you have it.
Okay. I know we were going to do Q&A now, and I'm going to go to commercial break here real quick, come back. There's one that I'll go ahead and ask you, which is a neat question. It was mentioned earlier in the chat room, and they said maybe we could have a whole designated show on it, but I'll let you touch on it when we come back after the commercial break, and that was chickens losing their feathers, molting versus what else could be causing this if they're not molting? So, mm-hmm. you know, if they're not, if they're, they're losing feathers, but it's not that time of the molt, or they've already molted, or what could also be disguised as molting, but it's really not molting. So we
okay.
will we'll kind of cover that when we come back after the break. Today, folks, if you're joining us late, we're talking with Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD. She's a poultry scientist, a professor, small flock specialist. She joins us on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. We hope you enjoy what you're hearing today, and we'll be back right after this short break. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Today's secret password is pullet. Today's secret password is pullet. Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our special guest today, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD in poultry scientist and small flock specialist, and we were talking about foot baths earlier, and now we're kind of opening it up to a general small flock Q&A, and I believe you were asking somebody in the chat room to call in as well with a topic, is that right?
Right. She was asking about adding DE to the sand,
mm-hmm.
DE meaning diatomaceous earth.
Correct.
Did she call in? DEP.
Let me see. No, not yet. So 347-637-3237. If you didn't know the number there, 347-637-3237. If you have questions for Dot, then you can give us a call as well. And when you call in, make sure you press 1 to speak with the host. So you'll dial 347-637-3237. When you call in, it'll pick up. You'll hear a young lady say, To speak with the host, please press 1. You will press 1, and that will let us know on the switchboard that you want to be on the air and have a question. And so I'll be monitoring that when she calls in about the DE issue and the issue we were going to talk about the losing feathers. They're not molting, but they're losing feathers. What else could it be other than molting? But I'll go out in my hens, there's feathers everywhere.
Okay, just if D.E. Peasley would like to call in, I have a journal article that I will discuss, but if it wasn't important enough for us to spend time on it, then she won't call in. If you have chickens that are losing feathers at odd times of the year, you need to take a look at them and see if chickens are actually pulling feathers off of each other or off itself and consuming them. If chickens are losing feathers and there's no feathers on the floor, it could be that they're eating them and it's a dietary imbalance. Usually in that case, you've got a low-protein, a high-energy diet, and they're eating their feathers to compensate for the lack of protein in their diet because feathers are protein. Other things you need to take a look at are perhaps external parasites, and the chickens are losing feathers because they're just kind of being eaten up and torn apart, and they're fiddling with their feathers and tearing them apart, just trying to get at external parasites. And we've talked about that in the past. We're talking about lice and mites in your chickens. So you need to carefully examine your birds for external parasites, and, you know, figure out why are they getting external parasites. Is that something that you brought in with a new bird, or are wild birds bringing them in? And then if they're eating their own feathers, well, that's a nutrition issue, and you're finding problems with your diet for the birds. And then also chickens can just kind of tear feathers off of each other. If you've got a new bird that's added to the flock and suddenly she becomes the rooster's favorite, she may lose a lot of feathers on the back of her neck because that's where the rooster grabs to hang on to her when he mounts her for breeding. Some hens, if they are being bred quite a lot by an aggressive or overly enthusiastic rooster, they may start to lose feathers on the back where he's been treading during breeding. In those cases, you want to check those birds quite frequently, especially if you haven't trimmed the spurs on your rooster in a while, because sometimes as he mounts or dismounts, he may poke her or stick her, and you may start to see scabs there. So those are some of the things for you to really consider. Sometimes dominant hens will, you know, peck consistently at other new hens or hens that are lower on the peck order, and you may see missing feathers there. So you might have to remove a hen from the flock, preferably the dominant hen, so that birds can reassort themselves and perhaps come to a different arrangement as to who is boss chicken. So those are some of the things, some of the scenarios that can occur when a bird is losing a lot of feathers or even just a few feathers in particular areas. And then, of course, annually your birds should molt. Young birds do several molts before they're finished with their set of feathers that they're going to wear for a year. So let's see. We have a question by Don Shandera. What if the chickens are under a year old? I see lots of feathers in the coop. Well, chickens, as they grow, undergo several molts before they have their adult feathers. There's natal down that is first dropped. That's the down that they hatch out with. And then that's pushed out by small feathers that help the chicks. And then they go through 3 to 7 different molts before they achieve their final plumage that should last them for a year. And those are really kind of somewhat interesting feathers for you to collect. That's the only time those girls and boys will ever give you those tiny little feathers. So if you like to collect feathers and keep them, feel free to.
Great. great. And then we got a caller. I think she has called in, so we'll go to that. And then we got come back. Someone had posted in there, can they molt any time during the year? And then also, how can I check for parasites? I've checked for external parasites. Don't see any, but how do you look for parasites? We'll talk internal and external, so we'll talk about that. Let's get over here to the phone lines. And caller from 207, you are live on the air. Your question or comment for Dr. McRae.
Yes, hi, Dr. McRae. I have a small coop with just 6 chickens, and it's really hard to get in there and clean it, and I do use pine shavings. And I've been hearing about using sand and the DE mixed in with it, and then taking a pitchfork or something and making it into like a giant pooper scooper. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. I'm thinking it would be a lot easier to clean out just the individual poops and wet spots that way rather than all the shavings that I go through all the time.
Well, it may be convenient for you, but my question is, if it's not convenient for you to do regular cleaning for your coop, then maybe it's time for a coop redesign. I prefer that people have coops that they have no problem getting in there and doing cleanouts. If somebody should get sick and you have to do that for several months in a row, your coop should be designed so that you have no problems. You're not constantly banging your head or can't get equipment in there to do the job, and you get frustrated because nobody needs to be frustrated by their chickens.
Mm-hmm.
As far as mixing DE in with sand, I wanted to share with y'all, let's see, back in March, yeah, this came out in March, April, an article came out on northern fowl mites control using liquid formulations of diatomaceous earth, kaolin, sulfur, azadirachtin, and Bovaria bassinia on caged laying hens. And what they had found was that high concentrations of sulfur eliminated mites for at least 8 to 10 weeks. A low, and that was high concentrations of greater than 5.3%. Low sulfur concentrations of 0.9% eliminated mites for approximately 4 to 5 weeks, and it really did a good job for 5 to 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is further out. The azadirachtin, which is derived from the neem tree, was given at 0.06%. It reduced but did not eliminate mites for about 3.5 weeks after treatment. So now we're going to move into the inert dust. So like kaolin clay, 12% by weight, mixed with water. It somewhat reduced mites for about 1 week after it was applied, but if you use 2 consecutive weekly applications, it controlled mites for 2 to 3 weeks. Now the DE you were asking about, 12% by weight in water sprayed on the bird, okay? It reduced mites significantly only if applied for 2 consecutive weeks, and its effects lasted less than 2 weeks. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I haven't noticed any mites on my birds, but I was just thinking in the coop itself and to help keep the sand dry, because it's a drying agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just,
well, think about
I've heard
this.
Of people.
If this was on the bird itself, sprayed directly on the bird, you know, maximum effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus in the sand and only occasionally used by the bird when needed and not as well of coverage, you're probably looking at less of an effect. Of course, it hasn't been tested. Would love to do that kind of testing, and maybe this group that published this work will do something like that in the future. But since they work a lot with caged laying hens, I'm not sure if that'll be the next thing that they do. But this is a group that works with entomology, and certainly mites and lice are insects. So, if they had to rank it, and they did, in order of effectiveness, top was high sulfur content, greater than 5.3%. Second was low sulfur. Then neem, then kaolin clay, then diatomaceous earth, and then the Bovaria, which I didn't talk about, but it killed mites in a glass tube, but had only moderate on-hen control for 1 week in only half the trials. So, this is the work that's being done, and slowly but surely it may work its way down to something like what you're doing, but it wasn't rah-rah. It wasn't a wonderful result.
Yeah, I haven't done it. I've been hearing of a lot of people who are using the sand and the DE in their coops, and they rave at how much easier it is to keep clean and to clean it out. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Be careful, because DE is not something you should breathe in. And if you shouldn't breathe it in, and chickens have a much more delicate respiratory system, it's not something that they should be breathing in wonderfully all the time.
Right.
I always tell people, mix it in with sand, but, you know, have them have access to it once a month for a quick dust.
Alrighty.
But, no, that's not the terrific answer you were looking for. I know, but I wanted you to have the facts.
I wanted your opinion on it. That's why I called.
All right. Thank you for phoning
in. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in. See if we've got... Okay, there we go. Perfect. Let's see. Okay, back to the questions we had. A quick overview on checking for... We'll just say for checking for external parasites, you know, around the vent, under the wings, and then internal parasites. You know, fecal flotation test, is that the only way? Are there some worms that we'll be able to see after a good morning poop, their first morning poop? Hey, there's some creepy crawlers down there. So a little bit about internal and external parasites, and then we can wrap it up.
Okay. Internal parasites, you're right. A fecal flotation test is going to give you an idea of both coccidia and worms. Some worms you can see in the droppings. Those are usually roundworms. Sometimes you can see tapeworm packets. Other worms you're not going to be able to see. They're just hair-like, so thin, that the only way you're going to know if they're in your birds is if you do the fecal flotation test. So a fecal flotation test is something that a veterinarian can do or someone at your diagnostic lab should be able to do. Sometimes they can't identify it down to the species, but they can tell you, yes, I did see worm eggs in there. Maybe it's time for you to use some wazine. If you do see worms in the feces, usually it's a roundworm, and they will creep you out. Tapeworms are little packets that do move after the bird has voided them in their feces. So it's just a segment of the tapeworm's body that's been sent out with the feces, and I don't know how it does it, but it still moves. It's not even part of mommy and daddy worm anymore, but it still moves. Okay, then you have the external parasites. If you have mites or lice on your chickens, typically but not always, you're going to see them in the feathers just below the vent, because those are the thickest feathers. They're also not the most convenient for the chicken to reach and eliminate these guys. So, you know, look below the vent, quickly part the feathers, and look down to the skin. If you see anything that runs away quickly, that's probably lice. Sometimes they freeze, so you have to stare for a while. And then dirt is about the size of what mites look like, and dirt shouldn't move. So, you know, sometimes they're red. That might be a red mite, but northern fowl mites are brownish, blackish in color. And another thing you can do is knock off some of the dirt from back there. And just like you would for a dog or a cat, like flea dirt. If you touch the dirt with a wet finger and it turns red, then something's been feeding back there on your bird, and that's dry blood, probably voided by whatever parasite was back there. So lice and mites are the two organisms that tend to affect birds most frequently. You need to treat the birds and their environment, because it's never just one bird that has it. And if your bird is totally missing feathers at the area below its vent, check under the wings, check the breast, check the back, because if there's any sort of scabbing around the vent, that's also an indication that something's feeding back there on the bird's skin. So not a pleasant thought, but it is a necessary step in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very, 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 very good. Can you do the flocal flotations at home?
You usually don't have the right stuff.
Okay. It's more than just putting it in a jar with a lid and kind of shaking it up.
Don't give your chicken a flea bath.
Ah.
Dog and cat stuff is not labeled for use in poultry. Okay? And some of it can kill your birds. I know somebody who once just poured the stuff straight on their bird without diluting it, and the bird died.
Oh.
So some of that stuff just is not okay to use with your birds. But if you want to wash the bird, you can. Just use some no-dye ivory soap, and that's a good first step towards eliminating external parasites.
Okay. And someone, Dawn, had, and she's, I think, a new listener. So, and Dawn, go back. We've got almost 700 shows that are archived at Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes that you can listen. Most of the topics are listed in case there's a few weeks that I got lazy and didn't post the topic. But she said, is it okay to deworm them twice a year as a preventative? And I could have four experts on the radio show, and they'll all have different answers. My answer is, I'm not going to go and have surgery if I don't need it. I'm not going to get on some medication from the doctor because I don't need it. And so I don't know. Some people, and again, last doc, she may completely disagree with me. But, when you have things like Wazine that are labeled not for egg layers at all, in fact, there's no study that says what a withdrawal time period is to eat eggs again. So some people say it's forever. You give Wazine to a laying hen, and you can never eat the eggs again. You've got, but it is factual information that there's not a withdrawal time for Wazine. So if you give it, you're kind of giving it at your own risk when you start eating the eggs again. And they're not meant to give for layers at all. And there's other wormers, that this, that, and the other. So we've covered this topic till we're blue in the face with wormers, and should I do it twice just
so
for preventative measures?
So the question then becomes, why are your birds being infected in the first place? What are you doing to infect them? If you can't or are not willing to treat with Wazine for a layer, then don't open the door for them to get infected.
Right. That's a good point as well.
So that comes back to what? Biosecurity.
Biosecurity.
Don't you
yep.
just love me for bringing that word up again? Because that's
now
what it all comes back to. Every time. Prevention, 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 prevention. That's why we always talk about it. So if you don't want to give them Wazine, or if you have an infected chicken and you're not comfortable giving them Wazine, you need to seek veterinary assistance and get a prescription. And if you're not willing to do that, then, you need to rethink whether or not you need a flock or beef up your biosecurity program. If you want to keep a flock.
Very good.
And like I said, these organisms are doing their job.
Yep, they are. And sometimes they do it very well. Oh, my goodness. And you know that because you've gotten contaminated by Petri dishes before.
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about internal parasites.
True.
So that's a completely different...
But that's still... That was still funny than when we had talked about that, and you were like, oh, yeah, I've gotten this, I've gotten this, I've gotten that, I've gotten that.
Oh, yeah, lab accidents.
Oh, my goodness. It comes with the territory of being a poultry scientist, I guess. So
being a microbiologist.
Yeah. Amazing. Hey, well, that's keep us informed. Let's see, let me look at the calendar here and see what we've got. Yeah, there's no show on the 19th. And it looks like your next scheduled Thursday would be
the 26th.
Because it's the because today is the 5th. You're the 1st and 3rd, which would be the 19th. But I'm out of town on the 19th. No radio show that week. And then, so the 2nd looks like August the 2nd.
Okay.
August the 2nd, the first Thursday of August. So that we'll get in touch before then with topic and things like that. But thank you very much for coming on. Always
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the questions for those of you who are brave enough to give me a call out there. See, I don't bite.
No.
I don't bite at all.
can always learn the some great information from you. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you the first Thursday in August, hopefully.
Take care.
All right, thank you. All righty, folks, it was Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer today with Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D., poultry scientist, small flock specialist, and this show is called Poultry Today with Dr. McRae. And she joins us normally the first and third Thursday of every month, first and third Thursday of every month. So if you enjoy what you hear today, make sure you tune in. And along with all of our great programming, pretty much Monday through Thursday, it's educational experts here on the show. Every Monday is Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. Tuesday, we have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancies. We have the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. We have Andrew Odom with Tiny Revolution. First and third Wednesday, it's all about gardening with GardenWise Living with Arlena. Again, we just said the first and third Thursday, poultry scientist Dr. McRae. Second and fourth Thursday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, talking all about living more sustainable. And most every Friday is Fun Friday, where we give away tons and tons and tons of prizes from our sponsors. Speaking of tons of prizes, let me just recap on our chicken coop contest one more time. We just gave away a chicken coop a week ago, and that was our Fan Appreciation Month, June Chicken Coop Contest, brought to you by MyPetChicken.com. And the July Chicken Coop Contest has started. It is Password Collection for Poultry Protection, and it is brought to you by SnapLock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free plastic henhouse. With its double-wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. SnapLock chicken coops weigh only 40 pounds, and they snap together in minutes. Spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, make sure you visit them online, snaplockchickencoops.com, and they're available retail at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com. So check those sponsors out as well. And Password Collection for Poultry Protection, that's what it's all about here, folks. We started this back on Monday, July the 2nd. Every weekday, Monday through Friday, we'll be announcing on the radio show and, of course, posting on our Facebook page a secret password. We've already given today's secret password on the radio show, so I'll be posting it on our Facebook and Twitter pages after the show for everybody else that wants to play along but maybe can't listen every day. Now, collect all 19 secret passwords. There will be 19 of them, Monday through Friday, starting Monday the 1st. The last password will be issued on Thursday the 26th. On Friday the 27th, you will have to listen to the show, because the correct caller on Friday, July 27th, the correct caller will just say, caller number 39, right now. That can recite all 19 passwords correctly will win this awesome coop. That's how it works, folks. So be collecting those passwords. If there's no radio show, have no fret. We will post them on Facebook and Twitter. And then, but you will have to be listening and calling and try to call in on Friday the 27th to win this awesome coop. It's valued at about $450 plus shipping to your front door. I know the different retail places we mentioned have them at different prices. Some prices are a little higher, but it includes shipping. Some are a little bit lower, but you pay for shipping. So however they want to price it and work it, whatever the best value is for you. SnapLockChickenCoops.com is sponsoring our July Chicken Coop Contest, giving away more chicken prizes and chicken coops than anybody on the planet right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. That's going to wrap up another great show. We thank you very much for tuning in today. And again, there may be a show tomorrow. Don't count it out so far. But in case there's not, oh, hang on. There. Yep, there you go. In case there's not, then we will see you back sometime next week. Remember, we're heading the road, Chicken Whisperer Tour 2012, heading up to Raleigh, heading over to Virginia Beach, coming back down to Savannah, heading over to Titusville, Florida. Going to have a good time, going to meet some great folks, going to have some fun, going to fight for backyard poultry. We are more than just a silly blog here at Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We actually are soldiers on the ground getting out and helping you, bringing on the experts in their field with the radio show and getting out, hitting the ground, and fighting for backyard poultry, speaking at city halls all across the country and changing laws so more people can keep backyard poultry. We appreciate you tuning in today, and follow us on Facebook. You'll see when the next show is, possibly tomorrow, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but we'll definitely have one next Friday because we'll be broadcasting live from Brency Products in Titusville, Florida. All righty, folks, we're going to leave you with a few breaks from our sponsors, and we hope you can tune in tomorrow. We hope you have a fabulous day. Oh, if there's no show tomorrow, we hope you have a fabulous weekend with family and friends. Folks, all righty, y'all have a good one. We'll see you next time here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Alrighty, folks, thanks for tuning in today. We will see you next time here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. God bless.
Oh.